Welcome to this deep dive.
Yeah.
You've sent us over some pretty fascinating research about the origins of life and the possibility that maybe it didn't start here on Earth. It's almost like a scientific version of, are we alone in the universe,
Yeah.
but on like a whole new level?
Yeah, I agree with you. What's so interesting about all this research you sent is that it really challenges, I think, kind of a core scientific principle, right? The idea that life arose only on Earth. And to really dig into all of this, we have to like go way back in time, billions of years, to when our planet was just forming.
Okay, so the research mentions that microbial life
Yeah.
existed as far back as 4.1 billion years ago.
Wow.
That's so early in Earth's history.
It is.
How does that challenge that traditional view?
Well, that's where this idea of a biogenesis comes in, right? A biogenesis is this idea that life arose from non-living matter, just kind of spontaneously happened. The problem is, the conditions on early Earth were really, really harsh. We had constant asteroid bombardments and a volatile
Yeah, it
atmosphere,
doesn't sound very
crazy volcanic activity. It wasn't exactly a nice place for life to just pop up.
like a relaxing hot spring or something.
Yeah, exactly.
So some scientists are saying that those early microbes, maybe they weren't homegrown.
Right.
Maybe they came from somewhere else, like literally outer space.
Yeah, exactly. That's kind of the core idea of panspermia. Panspermia is this idea that life, or at least its building blocks, were transported to Earth from, somewhere else in the universe. It's kind of like thinking about these microbes as like little interstellar travelers hitching a ride on a comet or a meteorite. And, one of the sources you sent me, goes into the Hoyle-Wickramez-Zing thesis, which really focuses on the role of comets in spreading life.
Yeah, I've heard it that it's cometary biology, right?
Yeah.
That always sounded kind of fringe theory-ish to me.
It definitely was considered very controversial for a long time. But you know what's interesting is that some of the evidence supporting it has become much more mainstream.
Like what?
Well, take liquid water, for example. We used to think that liquid water was totally unique to Earth. But now we know that liquid water exists on comets and moons like Europa and Enceladus, even Pluto. And so, if the building blocks for life are already out there, the idea of them being transported on comets seems more plausible.
So finding water is one thing, but have we found actual signs of life?
Right.
Like, did somebody find fossilized microbes on a comet?
Well, not exactly, but one of your sources talks about spectral analysis of comets, specifically Halley's Comet. It's kind of like taking a fingerprint of the chemical composition of an object by analyzing the light it emits and reflects. And with Halley's Comet, this analysis showed the presence of organic molecules, some of which resemble the spectral signatures of bacteria.
So it's not proof.
It's not a definitive proof of life, but
All
it
right.
definitely makes you wonder.
It's like finding a footprint, but not the actual creature.
That's a great way to put it. Yeah. And there's also research on interstellar dust. It turns out that the vast clouds of dust that are like between stars are full of complex organic molecules. These are the very ingredients that life is built from. So
So it's almost like the universe is sprinkled with the potential for life.
that's a great way to put it.
That's pretty amazing.
Yeah.
Makes you wonder if life on Earth is really as unique as we thought,
Right.
or if it's just one example
Right.
of a much bigger phenomenon.
Yeah, and that brings us to a very controversial piece of this puzzle, which is the 1976 Viking-labeled release experiment on Mars. So one of the experiments that was designed by Gilbert Levin yielded results that some scientists think are evidence of microbial life.
Wait, so they might have found life on Mars back in the 70s.
Right.
Why isn't everybody talking about this?
Well, the results have always been really disputed. The scientific community, by and large, concluded that the findings could be explained by non-biological processes. But even today, some scientists, including Levin himself, argue that we haven't definitively ruled out the possibility of life. And it raises an interesting question.
What's that?
Are methods for detecting life biased towards what we already know from Earth?
So we're looking for needles in a haystack, but
Where?
we're only looking for needles that look exactly like the ones we have at home.
Yeah, that's a great analogy.
Yeah, we might be missing something.
Right.
That's really cool.
And that leads us to the next part of the research, which is this idea that viruses might play a much bigger role in evolution than we previously thought. One of the sources even describes them as like cosmic architects of evolution.
That's a pretty big claim. So how do viruses, which we usually think of as, bad guys.
Right.
How do they fit into this big picture of life coming from space?
Well, viruses are really efficient at transferring genetic information. They're basically packages of genetic material that can insert themselves into a host's DNA.
So instead of just causing illness, they could actually be introducing new genetic material and driving evolution.
Exactly. And if some of these viruses came from space, you can see how that starts to blur the lines between terrestrial and extraterrestrial evolution.
It's like adding a whole new dimension to the tree of life with branches coming from space and intertwining with Earth branches.
That's a great way to visualize it.
Is there evidence for that?
There is some pretty fascinating research on the Cambrian explosion, which was this period about 500 million years ago when there was a huge diversification in life forms.
Okay.
And what's interesting is that the appearance of complex retroviruses in vertebrates seems to have coincided with this period.
So you're saying that these viruses potentially from space could have contributed to this giant explosion of new life?
It's a possibility.
That's really amazing. And does that link between viruses and evolution go beyond just vertebrates?
Yeah.
Could it apply to other organisms, even some of the stranger things that we see today?
Absolutely. Take the octopus, for example.
Okay.
The octopus genome is remarkably complex.
It is. They're pretty strange creatures.
They are.
Yeah.
It has more protein-coding genes than humans.
Wow.
And its unique features, like its intelligence and its camouflage abilities and its ability to regenerate limbs, all seem to have evolved very rapidly.
They almost seem like they're from another planet.
I know, right?
Yeah, but what does it have to do with viruses from space?
Well, one of the sources you gave me presents a very speculative but thought-provoking idea.
Okay.
What if some of the octopus's unique genetic material came from outer space?
Are we talking about alien DNA swimming around in our oceans?
It's definitely a fringe theory.
Okay.
But when you consider the possibility of viruses and other genetic material being transported through space.
Okay, yeah.
It does make you wonder.
It does. Okay, so we've got potential cosmic connections to octopuses.
Yeah.
Early microbes.
Right.
It seems like everything we learn about the universe shows us that Earth isn't as isolated as we thought.
Right.
But this cosmic connection, it could have a darker side too.
Yeah.
One of your sources mentioned pandemics and viruses raining down from the sky.
Yeah. This is where things get really interesting.
Yeah. The idea of a pandemic coming from outer space is a little freaky.
Yeah.
Is there any evidence for that, or is this just like a sci-fi movie?
Well, one of the sources focuses on the 1918 Spanish flu pandemic, which had some very unusual characteristics that are hard to explain with traditional disease models.
Like what?
For example, it seemed to appear almost simultaneously in different parts of the world.
Okay.
Which is unusual for a pandemic that spread through person-to-person contact.
So they're saying that the flu virus literally fell from the sky.
That's the idea.
Wow.
The source even points to a potential correlation between influenza outbreaks and the 11-year sunspot cycle.
Yeah, okay.
Which suggests maybe there is an extraterrestrial influence there.
Wow. If that's true, that completely changes how we think about pandemics.
Yeah.
It's not just about washing your hands and getting vaccinated. Yeah. We got to worry about viruses raining down from space.
There's a lot to think about.
It really is.
Yeah.
I think we need to take a minute and absorb all this.
Definitely.
All this mind-blowing information before we dive into the next part of this cosmic onion. What do you say?
I agree. This deep dive has been pretty incredible already.
Yeah.
And I'm excited to see where it goes.
Me too.
You know, it is pretty mind-boggling to think that maybe Earth's biosphere isn't totally isolated.
Right.
But it's like part of a larger cosmic ecosystem.
Yeah. And it makes you wonder how much of our planet's history.
Right.
Like its biodiversity and even our own evolution is intertwined with this cosmic web of life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You bring up a really good point. The implications for evolution are pretty amazing if we think about the potential for genetic material to be introduced from space. It really challenges our traditional ideas about how life changes and how it diversifies over time.
So instead of just gradual changes through mutations and natural selection, we could be talking about big leaps forward, maybe even entire new branches added to the tree of life because of these cosmic influences.
Exactly.
But is there any actual proof that life, or at least the building blocks of life, can survive a trip through space?
Actually, there is.
Oh,
One of the sources you sent mentions an experiment where researchers exposed algae to the vacuum of space.
Wait, they put algae in space?
Yeah.
Like outside the space station?
On the International Space Station.
Oh, wow.
Outside the station, fully exposed.
Exposed to space.
Yeah, for 16 months,
right.
They were exposed to extreme temperatures, radiation, all the other hazards of space.
And they survived.
Not only did they survive,
wow.
But when they analyzed them later on, they had adapted remarkably well to those harsh conditions.
That's amazing.
Suggesting that, you know, life, even in these simple forms,
right.
might be much more resilient and adaptable than we thought.
So if algae can do it, maybe those tardigrades aren't so crazy after all.
Right. Yeah.
But could something more complex like, you know, a multicellular organism survive?
It's a really good question.
Yeah.
But this algae experiment, I think it opens up a lot of possibilities.
Right.
And it leads to this other fascinating idea from your sources.
Okay.
This idea of a cosmic gene pool.
What is a cosmic gene pool?
Well, if we accept the possibility that there's life beyond Earth.
Right.
And that there could be a transfer of genetic material between planets.
Right.
Then it kind of implies that there's this giant pool of genetic information that extends beyond our planet.
We're like a universal library of DNA.
Yeah, like a giant library.
Constantly being mixed and remixed through comets and meteorites and who knows what else.
Right, and this cosmic gene pool could be contributing to the diversity and the evolution of life, not just on Earth, but maybe on countless other planets.
That's pretty incredible. So are we saying that we're all connected to life throughout the universe?
It really makes you reconsider our place in the universe, doesn't it?
Yeah.
It challenges that idea that Earth is like a uniquely privileged cradle for life.
Right.
And it suggests that we're part of a much more interconnected web of existence.
But how often is this happening? What kind of life are we talking about?
Right.
And how much of Earth's biodiversity is a result of these cosmic contributions?
Right. Those are really good questions.
Yeah.
And scientists are just starting to figure that out.
Yeah.
But one of your sources mentions an idea that I think complicates this whole thing, which is this idea of necropanspermia.
Necropanspermia.
Yeah.
That sounds a little ominous.
Yeah. Well, the idea is that, you know, while life might be traveling through space.
Okay. It doesn't always arrive, you know, in a pristine, ready to colonize state.
Right.
Some of these organisms might be damaged or even dead by the time they reach a new planet.
So like remnants of life almost, like genetic ghosts arriving from other worlds.
Yeah, that's a great way to put it.
Wow.
But even though the organisms themselves might not be viable,
right,
their DNA could still be intact.
Okay.
And that DNA could potentially be incorporated into existing life forms.
Really?
And, you know, drive evolution in unexpected ways.
That's pretty amazing and a little creepy at the same time.
Yeah, it is.
It's like the universe is showering us with remnants of life.
Yeah.
Living and dead, contributing to the genetic tapestry of our planet.
I like that.
But this cosmic connection, it might not always be a good thing, right?
Right, right.
We talked about pandemics earlier.
Yeah, this brings us to some of the less pleasant implications of a cosmic exchange of life.
Right.
Which is the potential for extraterrestrial pathogens.
So a virus or bacteria hitching a ride on a comet.
And causing a pandemic on Earth.
Right.
That's straight out of science fiction.
It is.
Is there any evidence that this has actually happened?
Well, there's no definitive proof.
Okay.
But there are some interesting correlations that scientists are looking into.
Okay.
One of your sources highlighted the 1918 Spanish flu pandemic.
Okay. What about it suggests an extraterrestrial origin?
Well, the 1918 pandemic had a couple of really unique features.
Okay.
It was incredibly virulent.
Okay.
It killed a lot of healthy young adults.
Okay.
Which is pretty unusual for influenza.
Right.
And it appeared in very widespread locations all around the world almost simultaneously.
At the same time.
Yeah, suggesting a transmission pattern.
Right.
That didn't fit the typical model of a gradually spreading disease.
So if it wasn't spreading through people, is there any way to track where it came from?
Well, one of the sources suggests a possible link between influenza outbreaks and the 11-year sunspot cycle.
Okay.
It's a little speculative, but the idea is that increased solar activity could potentially dislodge comets or meteoroids and send them, you know, crashing toward Earth.
Right.
Carrying with them whatever might be frozen on their surface.
It's like a cosmic lottery, and we never know what the prize is going
to
be.
Yeah, that's a good way to put it.
But if these viruses or bacteria are frozen for millions of years, would they even be alive when they land?
It depends on the organism and the conditions they encounter.
Okay.
Some might be destroyed, others might remain dormant.
Right.
Until just the right conditions come along and they reactivate.
So it's possible that there's an ancient deadly pathogen somewhere just waiting to wake up.
It's a possibility, although we're dealing with a lot of unknowns here.
Right.
Yeah.
It's a lot to consider. But beyond just disease, what are the other implications of this exchange of life?
Yeah.
How does it change how we think about human health and the human body?
That's a great question, and it's something that scientists are really starting to explore. Remember those retroviruses we talked about earlier?
Yeah.
The ones that may have been involved in the Cambrian explosion?
The ones from space that maybe jump-started evolution.
Right. Well, those retroviruses, it turns out,
okay.
are also implicated in a lot of human diseases.
Really?
Including some cancers.
Are they saying that cancer could have a cosmic connection?
It's not a direct link.
Okay.
But by understanding where these viruses came from, how they evolved, and how they might interact with genetic material from space,
right.
we might get clues about how they work, how they get into our DNA,
right.
and even how to fight them.
So the secrets to fighting diseases like cancer could be hidden in space.
Yeah, it's a possibility.
That's pretty amazing.
And, you know, if we're always being bombarded by this genetic material from space,
yeah.
what does that mean for our overall health? Could some of this stuff actually be beneficial?
Right.
Could it help us evolve new traits?
Could it make us better?
That's a great question. It highlights how complex this whole idea is. You know, we tend to think of viruses and bacteria as threats.
Yeah.
But they can also be beneficial in ecosystems and even in our own bodies.
Right. Like the bacteria in our gut.
Right. Exactly.
That helps us digest food.
So are we talking about like a constant influx of good bacteria and good viruses from space?
That would be nice.
It's possible, but, you know, we have to think about the risks, too.
Right.
If we're being exposed to new genetic material all the time.
Yeah.
Some of it might be harmful, and our immune systems might not be ready for it.
So there's good and bad.
Right. It's a double-edged sword.
It seems like this cosmic connection is full of potential, but also a lot of risk.
Exactly.
How do we even begin to wrap our heads around it?
Well, I think it requires a really big shift in our thinking.
Okay.
We have to move past this idea that Earth is like a closed system.
Right.
And really embrace this possibility that we're part of a much bigger interconnected web of life
okay.
that extends way beyond our planet.
So like asking someone to see the world in 3D
yeah.
after only seeing it in 2D.
Yeah, that's a great way to put it.
Their whole life.
Yeah.
But what are the practical implications of this shift?
Yeah.
How does this change our approach to science and to medicine,
right.
and even how we understand ourselves as a species?
Well, I think it opens up all kinds of possibilities for new research and new discoveries.
Right.
It challenges us to develop new ways to detect and study life,
okay.
to reconsider our assumptions about how evolution works and how diseases work,
right.
and just to explore the universe with a fresh sense of wonder and curiosity.
So it's not just about finding aliens.
Right.
It's about understanding ourselves and our place in this giant cosmic story.
Right. And it's a story that's way more complicated and interconnected
right.
than we ever imagined.
And we're only a small part of it.
We are.
It's a really big idea.
It is.
I think this deep dive has been amazing.
Yeah.
I feel like we've only scratched the surface.
Yeah, we have.
I'm really interested to hear your final thoughts on all this. So welcome back to this deep dive. We've been exploring this pretty wild idea, you know, that life on Earth might just be one small part of a much bigger story.
Yeah, we've covered a lot of ground, you know, talking about things like organic molecules and comets and interstellar dust and even the idea that viruses could be these like architects of evolution.
Right.
We even talked about this fascinating concept of a cosmic gene pool, this giant reservoir of genetic information that could be shaping life, not just here, but maybe across the universe.
Yeah, it's been a mind-blowing journey, to say the least.
Yeah.
So if we accept this idea that, you know, we're all connected in this giant web of life, what does that mean for our future?
That's a big question.
It is.
It makes you think about some really big implications.
Like how we approach space exploration.
Right, exactly. Are we looking for life in the right places? Are we using the right tools?
Are we even looking for the right kind of life?
Exactly. Yeah. You know, we might be limited by what we know from Earth.
Right.
We need to be open to the possibility of life that's completely different.
Right. Lives that might not even use DNA or could survive in places that we think of as really harsh.
Right. It's a whole new way of thinking about searching for life in the universe.
Yeah. And it's not just about space exploration.
Right.
this changes how we think about ourselves and our place in the universe and our connection to all these other life forms, mm-hmm. not just here on Earth, but maybe beyond.
Yeah, it's like realizing that this story of life is so much bigger than we ever thought.
Right.
And we're just this tiny piece of it.
And that's both humbling and exciting at the same time.
Yeah, it is. You know, it's humbling because it reminds us that we're not the center of everything.
Right.
But it's also exciting because it opens up so many possibilities.
Right. But this realization comes with a lot of responsibility too, doesn't it?
I think so.
Yeah.
You know, if we're really part of this cosmic ecosystem,
yeah,
we need to be aware of how we're affecting it.
Right. Like protecting the other planets. Yeah, exactly. Making sure that we're not contaminating them with Earth life and vice versa.
We don't want to accidentally mess up another planet's ecosystem.
All right. We could cause some real damage.
And what if we do find proof of life? What happens then?
Yeah, that's a big one.
Like, how would that change our understanding of ourselves in the universe?
Yeah. This is a question that people have been thinking about forever.
Right.
But now it's becoming a real scientific possibility.
It is. And it's not just about finding microbes or bacteria. What if we find intelligent life?
Right. How would that change how we think about consciousness and spirituality and our place in the grand scheme of things?
It's really hard to imagine what that would be like.
Yeah, it would totally change how we see ourselves in the universe.
It'd challenge everything we thought we knew.
It would make us question our beliefs and our values, our entire worldview.
Yeah, it's exciting and kind of scary at the same time.
Yeah, it is. But I think that's what makes science so interesting, you know, pushing the boundaries, challenging what we think we know.
Right. Confronting the unknown.
Exactly. And I think that's what makes this topic so captivating.
It really is.
It forces us to face these huge questions, you know, the mysteries of existence.
Where did we come from?
Yeah.
Are we alone? What are we doing here?
These are questions that humans have been asking forever.
Yeah.
And as we explore this possibility of life beyond Earth, this deeper cosmic connection,
mm-hmm.
we're getting closer to some answers, or at least asking these questions in a totally new way.
Yeah, it's a journey of discovery that's just beginning, and we're lucky to be part of it.
I agree. You know, it's a really incredible time to be alive with all these new discoveries.
Yeah, I feel like this whole deep dive has opened my mind to all these possibilities and made me feel a sense of wonder that I haven't felt in a long time.
That's what it's all about, you know, sparking curiosity, getting people to think critically,
right.
and just appreciating how vast and mysterious the universe is.
Yeah, well, it's been amazing exploring these ideas with you.
Yeah.
And I know our listeners are going to walk away with their minds blown.
I hope so.
So thank you for coming on this journey with us.
It's been my pleasure. And to everyone listening out there, like, you know, keep exploring, keep asking questions, and never stop looking up at the stars, because who knows what's out there waiting to be discovered.